Welcome, Abundant Babe. I have been waiting for you, and I get the feeling I know you pretty well already. Because like me, you are the visionary, the eternal optimist, the one who embraces all aspects of her divine feminine while being grounded with ambitious and driven energy. You've got big dreams, and you're ready to make it all happen. Well, let me tell you, soul sister, you've come to the right place. The Abundant Babe podcast is designed for goddesses just like you. We will talk about purposeful business, personal growth, mindset, money, manifestation, success, goals, all with a splash of spirituality and a tad of silliness. I know you've got it in you, and now is the time, beautiful. Trust in yourself and take action on what myself and other Abundant Babes share in this sacred space. And believe me, babe, your life will continue to change and expand. I'm your host, Viola Hug, multi-passionate entrepreneur, mentor, and coach. And my purpose is to help visionaries manifest everything they want through alignment, spirituality, and tangible strategy. It is so great to have you here. Now let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome back to the Abundant Babes podcast, my friends. It is so good to have you here. Today, I'm having a cup of tea virtually, of course, with a beautiful soul. I'm so excited to introduce today's guest to you because we actually connected on Instagram, which was really fun, and she just had such vibrant energy. And as soon as I connected with her, I knew she'd be perfect for the show. And also what she does and the conversation we're going to create through this podcast is actually going to be so fun because it's nothing that we've talked about so far, really. So it's all going to be about love alchemy. So Dr. Rachel, who's our guest for the show today, is a licensed clinical psychologist, a love alchemist, conscious communication expert, and a relationship mentor. So she obviously does a lot of work in this deeper connection area. And so she really wants to support people, which she's been doing over a decade, by the way, to delve deeper into discovering what it takes to heal and reveal them their true selves, which I really love that aspect of it because the relationship really does start with ourselves. And she uses a whole bunch of different techniques, both from like more the spiritual aspects as well as obviously her psychology. So she has lots of different elements that she does her work with. And so I'm really excited to delve into this. Please welcome Rachel to the show and please introduce yourself for our guests.
Well, hello. That was such a fun, energized introduction. I'm so grateful. And I'm really excited to be here. As you know, I've told you, I love your show. I love what you're doing. I love what you're putting out there. So thanks for having me. Hi, everybody listening. This is a really fun, exciting topic and one that I continue to delve deeper into every single day. So I'm glad to be able to talk about it with you.
Yeah, amazing. I'm excited too. So why don't you tell everyone, like, where are you located? How'd you get into this work? Like, where'd you grow up? Tell us a bit of your story.
Okay. Well, I'm living in the San Francisco Bay Area and originally I'm born and raised in New York, but I've been in California for a long time now. And, you know, in terms of becoming a psychologist, I always was sort of direct on that path. It was always sort of a linear experience for me. I knew that I was being called to do something in this realm. It was always curious and interested. And I'd say though, in more recent years, I've really deepened my connection to spirit and it's occurred so along the lines of my own personal healing journey. And so it's been phenomenal to be able to have this synergy between my classical clinical training as a psychologist alongside my personal development in spirit and connection to source energy and manifestation and all of that. It's so cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think like, to me, I always find it really interesting because I think I've always been way more inclined to like the spiritual versus the scientific, you could say. Like when I was younger and I would hear about like magic, I was like, oh yeah, I'm definitely a witch. Like I was just convinced. And
Right. Then,
and, you know, the law of attraction, the secret, like all of that stuff really interested me when I was younger as well. And then when I went into study, I did a Bachelor of Science. So I really like went into that scientific aspect of myself. As I then went to do my Bachelor of Science, like I went way more into that scientific way of thinking. And it wasn't until I left school and I kind of started thinking, okay, well, what do I actually like? What am I experiencing and what do I understand? And then the more that I've been working in this field, I start to realize like how science and spirituality are so closely linked. And that's why I'm so amazed at like and interested in the work that my husband does as well, because he's really like here to help bridge that gap from like that really scientific aspect to the more spiritual. So it's so cool to hear that you're like another soul sister who's really in this space as well of knowing that the two aren't so different, right?
Sure. Yeah, I think, and that's so encouraging to hear because we need it. I think we need everybody who is here as a human being experiencing this life to come online to what that really means. And for me, increasingly, what that really, the answer to that is a spiritual one. And and the fact that that's true is like the best news for all of us ever. So the more people we can get in on that, to become aware of that, to believe in that, I think the better we all are as a species, really. And and we continue to evolve in these ways that really excite me. So yeah, and I love that, you know, you're connected to it too.
Amazing. Yeah. And so tell me, how did you get into the whole relationship side of things, like the deeper connection, the love alchemy? I'm really interested to talk more about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and this is probably cliche, but I think, you know, for psychologists or therapists, you know, there's this adage that, you know, that we seek the profession because we're trying to understand something about ourselves. So, you know, it's really been birthed from my own experience and my own challenges and, and the work that I've been able to put in to understand how to be in relationship with others, you know, romantic and beyond, in ways that are really aligned with who I am and what I'm capable of and what I desire. But for so long, I was so shut down to intimacy, to vulnerability. I was in a 2-year relationship with a man who wasn't right for me that I moved in with, that my intuition, my higher self was like, what are you doing? This isn't right, you know? And it sort of was only through that process of, and a lot of pain and a lot of hardship and tumultuous sort of dynamics, that I started to explore for myself what the hell was going on. And so I'm really inspired by what I've learned and want to share.
Okay. Amazing. I love that. And I think that is so true. And cliche things are always cliche, I think, because they're true. So like, you know, and people who haven't quite experienced it, they're like, oh, so cliche. And then as soon as you've experienced it, you're like, hallelujah.
You're like, I get it.
Okay. Yeah. But, so love alchemy, what is that?
Well, it's a fun way to say that we have incredible power in our lives to live aligned with love, and that we can be the source of our own transformation to call in what it is we desire when it comes to romantic love or really anything else, but in the vein of romance, which is where I'm most sort of tickled and excited and want to help people with, you know, becoming a love alchemist is really just doing what it takes to co-create a life, a partner, a relationship that you purport you want and are ready for. And it can be sort of you know, it's a process, a dynamic one that requires sort of, you know, the commitment to create. But it's so exciting and rich because also what it is a shedding of what was that wasn't working or wasn't serving you. Some of that old stale energy that was, you know, that can keep us stuck in patterns that disappoint us. So love alchemy is really shedding. It's sort of like the caterpillar becoming the butterfly, that type of thing.
Yeah. Amazing. So really it's like, a process of coming back to what it is that we really desire and what we really want, which of course then in turn builds a deeper relationship with ourselves, our partner if we have one, or calls in the most aligned partner for us, correct?
I couldn't have said that better. Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So what has been like in terms of the transformation, or like what you feel doing the work, like what do you think is one of the, or like how do people come to you, like, you know, in terms of the work that you do, like how do people come to you? What is it normally that you see within them, or what is it that they're seeking that
right.
What light do you shine on that?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I think oftentimes it may be this experience someone's having, women specifically, or who I'm working with, where, you know, they want romantic love. They want their partner. They want their twin flame, their soul's partner, and they're not getting it, right? They're drawing in unavailable men who are lying to them, or who they feel strung along by, or who, you know, and they're anxious, or they're stressed, or they're binge eating, or they're drinking too much. So it's sort of like these symptoms that can come up that women notice, like, God, this sucks. This feels terrible. And it's so familiar, but maybe aren't totally sure why, or don't, you know, are disconnected from themselves in some way, or feel victimized by the experience. So that's sort of what someone might notice, like, oh, I keep drawing in this same type of guy who doesn't call back. And then I'm an anxious mess, and I, you know, can't sit still, or it takes me to this ugly place in myself. Mm-hmm. And the women who are coming to me are at a point where they are willing to do the work to shift, you know, that this is not what they want. This is not who they are. And on some level, they recognize that they're ready for a family, to be married, if that's what they want. So that's sort of where the women I support are.
Yeah. And I think that's like such a good point, because I often think that the areas that we really have a strong like disalignment with, like the areas where we can see ourselves like falling into patterns or falling into habits that we know aren't in our best, like or in highest good, there are these things that, you know, we ourselves, as we're doing them or after we do them, think, why did I do that? They're often like really clear signs of where we can actually have healing. And, or especially like you said, if you're calling in like continuously the same problems in a relationship, problems don't just go away if you get a new relationship. Like it's about healing it within yourself, which is, I guess, really where it begins.
Sure. It's true. And I have a 4-step process that I've created to help with the alchemy of love and the manifestation process. And the first step is heal. And that is because if we don't, we can't expect ourselves to overcome these patterns. That it is really speaking to this part of us. Marianne Williamson talks about, you know, each person who comes into our lives is this assignment, this lesson, right? And if we're not sort of heeding the lesson, healing in response to the things that are drawing up this old wounding or this tension inside of us, then we're just going to stay aligned with that lesson, that assignment that continues to come. So I think the healing part is also learning the lesson, you know, noticing it for what it is, this assignment that's come to help you get back to your real self, your highest self, your true core, and then move on from there.
And I always find it really funny, because with these like signs from the universe, or, you know, whatever divine intervention, whatever you want to call it, it's like, if you're not listening, they tend to get worse and more obvious signs.
Sure. Yeah. And they can lead to a really devastating place. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, and I think the other part of this that I want to emphasize is how important it is to be conscious. You know, so much of the time we're operating, if we don't have an awareness practice, or we're not connected to spirit or our highest selves, like that requires thoughtfulness, consciousness. And so when we're operating unconsciously, mm-hmm. it's terrible, the positions we find ourselves in. Mm-hmm. You know, it's mm-hmm. very painful. Mm-hmm. It certainly was for me more than once. Mm-hmm. And so, so I think, you know, shedding light, being able to notice the signs, because they're abound, they're everywhere all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's so exciting and it's so delightful when you can tune into it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think part of what I recognize and want to emphasize is that, you know, it oftentimes can't be done alone, mm-hmm. that we need people like you and people like me and therapists mm-hmm. and mentors and healers who can, you know, shed the light, create the space mm-hmm. for us to do the work ourselves. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I so agree with that as well, because we actually do have the power within us, but sometimes we're so close to something, it's hard for us to see the perspective, you know. And of course, you can't see something new if you've always looked at it from the same angle. So that's why it's so powerful to work with other people. And as you were talking as well, I was really like being reminded as well that this is like such a shout out to remember that there, you know, like if you're experiencing things like continual patterns of like, relationships that really aren't in alignment, whether it's just like a lot of fighting or disconnect or not much intimacy or cheating or any of these types of things, it's actually not because there's something wrong with you. Like you're not broken. It's, and even the relationship itself might not even be broken, right? Like they might be an aligned person. It's just a disaligned state within yourself. And so you can actually heal yourself and bring yourself to a space where you can experience like utter love and utter joy and like complete fulfillment in a relationship, which for me, I know I so needed to hear that back when I was dating before I met my husband, because I really thought that maybe I was just not someone who was going to manifest a relationship that felt easy. Mm-hmm. I thought that, you know, I just thought that compromise to the point where you just couldn't be yourself and you couldn't like fart in front of your partner. Like I just thought all that stuff was normal for relationships. I didn't realize that there's like a whole new level of complete mm-hmm. synergy, like you say, within yourself, but within a relationship as well. But everyone is capable of that and everyone is worthy of that and deserving of that. So it's just these signs, these experiences that you have in relationships are just clues for you for where you can move into greater alignment, right?
Yes. Well said. And I'm excited for you that you were able to, you know, it sounds like experience this process yourself and have landed in a really cool, loving partnership.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just so amazing now, because it's like this whole cliche thing again, but it's like, you know, when I met Nick, my husband, it was just like, when you know, it was just like this fire of, like, it didn't even feel like a relationship. It felt like a reconnection with someone that I was with the whole time. Like, it was just this like beautiful energy and it was just so fun. And so, and there's just like so much growth within the relationship. But before that, I was always wondering like, is this my partner? Like, is this the person I should marry? Or is this, you know, is this what I should be doing? And I was in my head, right? Which is the totally wrong space to be, by the way. When I met him and I knew what like a really good relationship was, I just like now have no tolerance for friends that are like, oh, but this, I'm just like, no, that's not good enough. Like, don't compromise. Don't like, it's that quote, like there's too many mediocre things in this world. Love should not be one of them.
I love that. It reminds me of the poem, the Rumi poem, lovers don't finally meet somewhere. They're in each other all along.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I mean, that I would say that when there is that type of tug of war inside the mind, mm-hmm. It's usually not a good indication that this is the right person for you, you know? And I mean, it can draw up, you know, any type of intimate romantic connection can be a source of sort of these triggers in us. I think it can be, confusing for people, because on the one hand, there's this sort of idealized, romanticized idea of what it is to be in love, like, oh, it's just this easy, fluid thing. And I think that there's some truth to that, and that there is the higher self-awareness that knows intuitively if this is really right. Mm-hmm. And I think that that doesn't mean it won't ever be hard, or, you know, it's not the idea that there never will be conflict or things to work through. But yeah, I think that type of the war in the mind, if it's eliciting these old places, it's helpful to notice that and recognize that for what it is, because otherwise you'll get drawn back into those old patterns that will keep you stuck in that place.
Absolutely. So what's been some examples like in your life, if you don't mind sharing this with the audience, like a few examples in your life where maybe you've experienced this, or how it inspired you in your work, or how you've been able to apply some of what you teach in your own life?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, I ended up leaving that relationship I mentioned a little earlier that was wrong for me. And that was hard, but it was really the opening of such tremendous growth for me and deepening in my connection to myself. And it was sort of this wonderful, liberating time where I was out there and exploring myself in these new ways and feeling just, you know, just really like a goddess out there in this world, you know, claiming my stake here and there, until I met this man who was, you know, sort of narcissistic and ultimately unavailable, but who I found myself idealizing in some way, because he made me feel beautiful in a way that I hadn't quite yet. And he was, you know, stimulated all these parts of me that I thought I needed to someone else to stimulate for me to feel validated and secure. In those things. But it was so painful because he wasn't really available. And so he'd sort of, I felt very strung along, and I was always sort of like ended up with this hangover after our time together because he could never quite meet me where I said I wanted him to. And so it was a dance for a long time where I was trying to make sense of him and what is this? And finally got to a place where I just really asserted my worth and said no to him, you know, and I've said no to him many more times since, you know, which is this, again, you know, I think it's like this alignment process. And every time I doubt myself or my path in love, he'll pop back in to say, hey, I mean, you could come back to this. And then I have to say, no, 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 you know, sanity will prevail here. And it's phenomenal. Every time I do it, I deepen the space to call in the right one. The caliber of who that is gets a little higher. And I'm in the throes of it right now. It's incredible. I recently reconnected, with this amazing man who we'll see, but certainly is the standard with which I'm aiming. And I've done that through deliberate co-creation practices, spiritual self-care, meditation, affirmations, really aligning myself, you know, in my mind, but also in my body and emotionally and sort of energetically with where I am when it comes to what I expect and who I want to align with. And it's working. So
yes. Amazing. Okay. There's so much like juiciness. I want to like delve more into so much of what you said. One of the first things though that, came to mind is, just like, I know that, you know, like I've had friends and clients who've been in relationships where things are really, really good. Like there's nothing necessarily wrong. But there's like this, still this inner feeling that possibly it's not in alignment, or possibly it's not in alignment anymore. Like, we're growing apart type of energy, because maybe, you know, through the growth of life, they were right for a time, but they're not so much anymore. And I know, like, even if you're in a relationship like that, or if you're in a relationship like I used to be as well, and it sounds like possibly with like the other guy where, you know, it's not really in alignment for you, but you just, for some reason, just stay in it anyway. Actually leaving that space takes, in my opinion, such a tremendous amount of courage. Like, talk me through what was going on in your mind when you originally ended that, or when you, this guy, the second guy, like, tell me what went through your mind when you finally decided to take that stand and like stand up for your worth and say, no, like, this isn't what I'm like available for anymore.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I actually started to create something called the program of courage, because I think you're right. It's bold and it's brave and it's indicated. I mean, I got to a point where I said, enough, this is enough. I'm not going to do this anymore. And really what it was I couldn't bear another self-betrayal. I could not bear to abandon myself again. And that's exactly what I was doing repeatedly. And it was so awful. And it was so not who I am. I love, you know, it was so far outside of who I am, what I really know, my highest self, my core being, was saying, stop already. Like, you know, this is not, you know, this is not an alignment. So just, you know, cut it. Now I get therapeutic support. You know, I have an in-person therapist who I adore. I'm connecting more and more to intuitive healers to do energy clearings. I meditate every day. I go to the gym. And the more I have cultivated this unwavering confidence and self-love and just a deep knowing that I am capable and worthy of reciprocal, healthy love, the less space there was for me to accept anything that wasn't that, even if it felt hard, or even if I tackled with it a little bit. I always have since landed in like, hell no, don't be crazy. That's the crazy mind, right?
Yeah. And it's almost like this whole like idea of the different archetypes. Like, you have the princess archetype that's really like, oh, come save me. But then really that's, you want to step into that queen archetype that knows her power on her own and chooses whether she allows someone else into that space rather than needing that saving and that. Cool. Yeah. So I thought it'd be really fun as well if maybe we can share with the audience, for those of you that are maybe new to this stuff, or maybe really looking to call in an aligned relationship, you know, whatever space that you're in, can we share with the audience like a little bit your perception on what soulmates and twin flames and like the different kinds of relationships are? Like, I don't know if you know about catalyst relationships or what you really work with. Like, what can you share with the audience around that?
It's sort of tickling, isn't it? I mean, the idea that we have this person who we're meant for. I don't know about catalyst relationships, but I should look into that. This is an interesting one. And I think I hold a nuanced view.
Yep.
Because I think that we are all one. And so I think that we do have soul contracts, you know, that there are certain sort of configurations with certain other souls who we've known before in other lifetimes and who, you know, we come into this human incarnation to connect with in a new way or to resolve in some way. I think it all ultimately boils down to cultivating more love and connecting with the other souls that we're designed to do that with. You know, I also think that that ex-person that I was with was a soulmate. Because although he wasn't my life partner here in this incarnation, he was critical to my evolution. I needed that experience. Mm-hmm. And I think if it wasn't him, it was going to be someone else, that type of thing. And so I do think that we all sort of have our soul's partners at any given time along our paths mm-hmm. for what's in our highest good at any given time in our evolution. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I so agree with that. I love the way you put that. And I so agree as well that in a sense, like we all really are one and we all, our default state is really love, which is just such a beautiful way to live life with that view, I think. It's just like makes me all warm and fuzzy inside. And I have a really similar view on it and my experience and stuff with, tuning into people's energies and their relationships and the more intuitive work that I do, it's like, soulmates, I see like soulmates can even be friends. Like they can even be our family because they're really just like our soul family. Like the people that, yeah, we may have had other lifetimes with or, are meant to be in our path. And what I was meaning, funny enough, that you mentioned it by the catalyst relationships. Our catalyst relationships would be like your ex soulmate man, who you know are kind of more here to catalyze us into growth, to catalyze us into our next level, rather than being like our lifetime partnership or a long term relationship.
Right.
And then of course there's the concept of twin flames as well, which I personally find so beautiful. And twin flames we don't necessarily connect with in every lifetime because they. They're not always in the same lifetime as us. So the twin flame is from my understanding, what I've learned and what I personally feel I'm in alignment with. But of course, everyone else has their own perspective because we never really truly know. With the twin flames, they talk about that, like, I guess at the start of existence or whenever, I don't know, but your personal soul was one soul and then it went into two, and not, just to clarify, not in the sense that you're not whole without the other person, you're your own whole being 100%. Like you are 100% pure and worthy and amazing on your own. It's just, it's there, the mirror of you. They are your perfect reflection. So in some lifetimes you may connect with them to not actually be in a relationship with them, but they mirror your, where you need to grow. So it might be a really like, not a very pleasant relationship because it's their like everything they have that you don't like about yourself comes up within them. And then in other lifetimes where you're maybe more in alignment energy, that's when you can actually be in that relationship for positive growth. So either way, like the twin flames are always about growth and that beautiful stuff. It's just sometimes it's in a loving relationship and sometimes it's not.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It is. It's such a thrilling construct. And I think when the more willing we are in this realm, in this incarnation, to take personal responsibility for these connections, mm-hmm. for creating the space to learn and understand and deepen really who we are and how mm-hmm. we want to be with whoever comes up in our lives, the better off we are to experience how sparkly and glowy and delightful these opportunities are and these relationships. Yeah, it's some of the richest stuff as humans that we get to experience.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's so beautiful as well, because everyone we meet is a teacher in a way, and we're all on our own journey, but I just like always get so mind blown and like so amazed at how, although we're all on our own journey, and everything happening to us is for us, it's also like for each individual soul, it's the same experience for them. And somehow it all meshes together into this beautiful synchronicity we call life that, you know, then everything is like, I don't know, benefiting everyone, but in different ways and from different perspectives, just like you for your ex, you were some sort of catalyst for him as well. Absolutely. Like no doubt about that. It's just, he's on his own journey and the way he discovers that and utilizes that information is up to him.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah. Cool. Yeah, it is. And you say it so beautifully. You really seem to know it. And, and it reminds me of these ideas of like, I think I see a lot of women struggle to connect to power mm-hmm. or to worry about control. Like there's so much anxiety that can mm-hmm. be elicited and a relinquishing of power. And so to hear you describe this beautiful flow of experience and learning and lessons and soul-based connections and contracts and how we are so capable of empowering ourselves to step into the learning for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And there's just no more power we can cultivate than that.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And I love like what you're talking about as well in terms of the fact that it really does start within, you know, and I said it in your intro as well. It's about firstly connecting with that relationship with ourselves and how you described in your experience. It's about like stepping into your power and really knowing what you're ready for and what you're, you know, available to align with. Because I didn't know any of this consciously when I met my partner, my husband now, because I wasn't really awakened to this world yet. But when I look back in hindsight, it's really interesting. Like when I look back at the patterns and the things that I was called to do, and it was about maybe 6 to 8 months before I met him, I suddenly decided that I didn't need a relationship. It was kind of the first time I decided that. I was like, I don't need a relationship. I like am fine on my own. And I almost like had this, it was kind of, I feel like a little bit at the time as well, like, oh, I'm going to prove everyone wrong kind of energy. But I think it was probably really good for me at the time. But I was just like, I can make it on my own. Like, I don't need a guy telling me like what to do. I don't need a relationship to feel loved, even though I still struggled with that. And then, you know, and I just like made this commitment that everything I was going to do was going to be for me. And I like, you know, finally did some healing for some like physical health issues I had. I like, for me, it was a really big thing, but I got like a tattoo that said love because I was like, love's like the energy that I can create within myself. And it was like this real like strong declaration that I didn't need a man. I didn't want a man. And I was like whole. And I was just going to focus for the first time in my life on what was important to me. And then as I embodied this energy more and more and more, that's suddenly when I met my partner.
I'm not surprised.
No, not surprised. No, not at all.
But thank you for sharing that journey. It sounds really cool. And that's exactly what happens. It brought to mind, there's this sort of, it's sort of a parable in Buddhism where, you know, so often we're sort of gripping so hard onto this rope and we have like rope burn and there's like wounds and all we have to do to avoid the pain of the rope burn is let go of the rope. And that's so poignant to me. And it sounds like you did that. You got to this place in yourself where you let go and it liberated you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happens.
Yeah. And that's what I so see in like other people as well. It's just like, yeah, it's that ability in anything. Like, I feel like this just like is such a good lesson in any area of life when you really do allow yourself to let go. And yeah, it's just, that's when the magic happens. That's when the manifestation takes place. Right. So I would love to hear like for, those listening. So I think like, I don't know if you like have one or the other that would be easier to talk about, or maybe we can talk about both, or maybe it's one and the same, but, for people that are either in a relationship, maybe wanting to deepen that relationship, take it to a new level, or, yeah, whatever it might be for those that are in a relationship that they're, that may be in alignment, or someone who's trying to call in a soul partner, what would you say is some, like what are some practical things they can apply to start like manifesting someone into their life or more alignment in their relationship?
Yeah. I just wrote actually a piece for the Meet Mindful app on how to, you know, stay connected to a long-term partner through the reinvention process. So I think it is important to keep in mind that we're all always primed for growth, and that although it might feel hard, there are ways to stay connected to and committed to a long-term relationship. Mm-hmm. It might be a little bit different than someone who's single and trying to call in their person.
Mm-hmm.
One thing though, I will recommend in an overarching way, to every single person, regardless of anything, is meditation. Because it's really when we meditate that we give ourselves the chance to slow down enough to observe all of the wild, wacky, weird stuff we tell ourselves, so much of it that isn't true. Mm-hmm. Get some distance from that and give ourselves the stillness we need to connect to our higher selves. We all have an intuitive knowing of what is best for us. Mm-hmm. Our inner being, as Abraham Hicks describes it, knows what to do, knows where to take us, knows what to say, to who. We just have to still and chill out enough to let it come forth. Mm-hmm. It's also through, so there's that. And then there's, you know, meditation also gives us the chance to practice these intention-based affirmations that align us. So I think regardless, you know, if you're in a relationship and you want it to grow, you can focus your attention on that in meditation. Mm-hmm. And similarly, if you're trying to call in your partner, meditation is a good time. Mm-hmm. And I recommend people devote themselves to it and practice it every single day, even if it's for 15 minutes, but it has transformative capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I so agree with that.
The other thing I think is that, you know, there has to be a settled and anchored and joyful sense of self, you know, that if you want to align yourself with the right person who's going to be healthy for you, you have to believe that you're worth that. You have to love yourself and your life. And so that might look like connecting to activities that make your heart sing, you know, going to find communities, tribes, resources that make you feel your most well, make you feel your most at home in yourself. And, you know, I think I want to highlight that I think the expectation is not that we're perfect or that we have to not have any struggles to be ready for love. But that we offer ourselves compassion in the face of our struggles, that we don't say, oh, you're a crappy person, you're totally unlovable because you struggle with this. It's really, you know, the personal responsibility, the nurturance, the compassion, and the recognition that it doesn't have anything to do with your innate inherent worth, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a part of all of this. The alchemy of it all is to know that you're worth it and to be kind to yourself through it. Mm-hmm. And to practice that. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I commit to doing is I intention set, you know, I set intentions explicitly in my mind when I journal and write them out. I have, you know, a sign up that says what I am. And I remind myself of that every single day.
Mm, that's so beautiful. I love that. And because one of the questions I was actually going to ask is, what are your daily rituals? Like, have you got a daily routine that you like really thrive upon? That, you know, you feel helps you stay like centered and connected and as an entrepreneur, but also in the work that you do and what you're living by. And I think that like answered a lot of that. Is there anything else you would like to add to that question or?
I mean, I think a big part of this all is communication and being, you know, and I think that that's as much with ourselves as it is others. So I think real intimacy comes when we can be honest and real and raw about everything and not fear that if we express our need or if we say this thing that we're feeling, we're going to push them away. And we need that type of reciprocity mm-hmm. with the people we're with. So I think it's about being honest, being authentic, in what we say to ourselves and then in also how and in what way we say it to others without necessarily expecting anything from anyone else. It's really, I think our ability to communicate our experience is a way that we show ourselves respect. Mm-hmm. And that can be, I see that is challenging for a lot of people, myself included. So that's another, I practice conscious communication every day, especially when it comes to my relationships and when I'm triggered and don't want to, you know, deepen a rift, you know, because conflict can actually really make the experience in the relationship much richer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's like been my experience as well as like, and I think with the just quickly before I go there, it's like the thing with communication, that like really open, honest communication in terms of like what it is that we desire, what our needs are, like communicating how we want to be loved, and like, you know, all of those beautiful things on both, for both parties in a relationship, is like super, super powerful. And even though it can feel really, really scary, it's so liberating when you have that conversation. The thing I've noticed though, and definitely in myself first, and as I noticed in myself, I started to observe it for other people as well, is that sometimes we don't even really know what it is that we want. So it is so hard for us to be clear in our communication of what we want, because sometimes we don't even know ourselves. And that's where I think what you mentioned about meditation is so powerful, and like allowing yourself space in your life to actually cultivate a relationship with yourself, both on, you know, a soulful level, on an like loving, intimate level, like on so many different avenues, like giving yourself time for journaling and all of these beautiful things. Because as we start to know ourselves, and then we step into that truth and just share openly with our partner those things, then it's like it deepens the relationship to such a like a greater level. It's just really, really interesting. Communication is so key, and communication with ourselves first off, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Wow. Well said.
Yeah. So far we've talked about, really about, I guess, like knowing your worth and standing up for, what it is that you really want to call into your life. And, through communication with yourself and these, practices of getting to know yourself, like meditation, is really where you can discover what it is that you really want, what it is that you are, I guess, like available for. Like, are you available for what level of relationship, what type of love, how deep, right? And through that, just then having the courage to, when you're faced with an opportunity to really execute that belief that you want to cultivate, or that, you know, whatever it is, whether it's, you know, the old ex calling you back, or it's a conversation where you're, you know, you really want to speak a truth that may be scary for you to speak out loud, actually having the courage in that moment to act on that.
Yeah. I think it's so much where the rubber hits the road. So it's a really exciting process, because it's occurring on so many different layers, and and we give ourselves and source energy, and the beauty of the alchemy is that we have all of these opportunities to practice and to embody the effort, embody the love. It's a practice that I delight in myself and love all of the ways that I cultivate it and get to practice it. And I appreciate also what you've said more than once, which is that being conscious is so liberating, and sometimes can feel really scary, and can take courage to become awakened, because what that is really an unraveling of what you thought was. And although that's fantastic every single time, because it gets you to where you really are, and that is a love-based place, it can feel unnerving and frightening, because there's elements to it that are unknown. And that's why I think support is helpful.
Oh yeah, I so agree. And it really came to mind as you were saying that as well, as this is, I believe it's not a coincidence that we call this a practice, because it is really an opportunity to practice this every time. And if like you go out there and you call your ex back or whatever it is, and then you catch yourself on that, it's having a little humanity for yourself and understanding that none of this stuff is meant to like completely shift itself overnight. I mean, it can, and there are aspects of yourself that totally can shift instantaneously. But at the same time, there's also aspects of us that, for us to truly know them and to truly learn them, we actually need to put them into practice, and we need to sometimes make mistakes, and we sometimes need to totally nail it. Regardless though, it's being gentle with yourself through that process, and like loving yourself anyway, and actually celebrating the fact that you're aware of it, rather than, you know, going down and like beating yourself up about it because you made one mistake, you know, like it's okay.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Amazing. So do you have any last things that you really feel the audience would benefit from hearing about this topic as we start to close off?
I think I just want to emphasize that nobody is limited beyond what they say they are. So we can all have, we all do have unlimited capacity to be everything we want, to have everything we desire, and to call in exactly who it is that we want to be with in a healthy partnership. And that is true. And it is thrilling. And it's just about, you know, raising your vibration to meet yourself where you innately are, which is mm-hmm. pure love, pure beauty, pure compassion. And so it's just a real honor to be able to support people to radiate that, to radiate their true being. And if anybody has any interest in, you know, learning more from me about any of this, they can find me at Hey Dr. Rachel. I'm on Instagram, very active there. I also heydrrachel.com, and they can sign up. And I'm in the throes of finalizing a specialty premium coaching package on the Alchemy of Love, where I have this wonderful outline that I'll walk women through to manifest. And yeah, so cool.
Yeah, amazing. I was just going to ask, where can people find you? Where can they connect with you? Because as I always say on the show, and I mean it, we like love hearing from you, right? Like Rachel, it's just so nice to hear what people really took away. And I'm sure that Rachel is like more than open to having conversations with you about where you're at on your journey. And if you have questions for me, obviously I'm always available. I'm an open book in that sense. And so, yeah, definitely connect with Rachel. All of her links are in the show notes as well, so you can find them there, of course. But yeah, it's been so awesome having you on, Rachel. It's been so fun to have this conversation.
Woo. Ditto. I mean, you're a delight, and I'm impressed and grateful to connect with you. I knew it instantaneously. So yeah. I'm really, thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been so awesome. So yeah, to everyone listening, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. I love you. I so appreciate your time and listening to this. And I know it will bring you value if you're really listening with open ears, as you will be if you've made it this far into the episode. And yeah, get in touch with Dr. Rachel, get in touch with me, anytime that you need anything, and sending you loads of love. Until next week, bye everyone. Thank you for tuning into today's episode. It is always amazing to connect with you and be able to share this information. And I just love the variety of guests we've been having on the show. Amazing, right? Like, how cool is Rachel? Like we said, like, please get in contact. Let us know what your favorite part of the episode was. Let us know, you know, what you're excited to apply into your lives. And for those of you who have been following me personally for a little while, and maybe you've been thinking about working with me, I would so love to work with you. And I just wanted to let you know that currently I'm in the process of restructuring my offers and redoing my pricing, which is so exciting. There's so much value that I'm ready to give on such a higher level, and I cannot wait to share that with you. Like, it's gonna be so good. Which you may have already seen some of the stuff that I'm doing coming about, like with my Manifestation Master program, which we are partway through now. It's just like so amazing. And then so basically I'm going to be changing my offers and my pricing. If you are interested in working with me and you've been thinking about it, definitely do get in touch now. Send me a message. If you do hear this podcast, obviously let me know that you got the message and that you're interested in working with me. Or if you're on my website and you know definitely like where you want to work with me, like where you'd like to start working with me, then you can go ahead and fill out the contact form on there and we can discuss it further. But yeah, so as of the end of this week, everything's going to be changing, which is super exciting. And I cannot wait to share it with you. And like I said, if you'd like to work together, now would be a beautiful time. I'll talk to you guys soon. Until next week. Bye.